My name is Ben Bailey, the minister for the Central Church of Christ. We're so glad that you've joined us for our broadcast today.
Hebrews 9:22 says, without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sin. Do we realize that God knew His Son would have to bleed and suffer and die for us? Jesus said in Matthew 26, verse 28, as the institute of the Lord's Supper, this is my blood of the new covenant, which was shed for many for the remission of sins. Christ knew. He is God. John 1:1, Genesis 1:26. He knew those things would have to happen. Acts 20, verse 28, Jesus purchased the church. There's the eternal plan of God. Ephesians 3:10 and 11, Jesus purchased the church with His own blood. Colossians 1:14, we have redemption through His blood. Revelation 1, verse 5, we're washed and cleansed in the blood of Christ. And so when I think about reminders, when I think about living a holy life, what challenges me to do that? Friend, the God of heaven loved me and He loved you so deeply that He had already made a plan before Adam and Eve made that first sin. We need to realize the importance of God's love and how deeply He cares for us. What else do we need to remember today? Remember, you are a new creature in Christ. In Christ, you're a new creature. You have a second chance. Look in 1 Peter 1, verse 23 through 25. The Bible says, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever, because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withers, its flower falls away, but the Word of the Lord endures forever. Peter reminds us that if we're going to be faithful to God, if we're going to really live the life God wants us to, we've got to realize we're a new creature. Friend, when we obey the gospel, we put all the past behind us and we got a second chance. Romans 6, 1 through 4 talks about it. Death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. We die to sin, we're buried with Him in baptism, and we're raised to walk in a newness of life. Listen to the wonderful words of 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all has become new. It is a privilege to be a Christian, and you've got to put that past life behind you. You can no longer live like that. In fact, Peter will say in 1 Peter 2, verse 1, you've got to lay aside all malice and envy and wickedness and deceit, all those ungodly things you used to be a part of, you've got to put behind you. And that's a reminder each one of us needs every day of our life. Now, what else must we do? Well, Peter tells us in 1 Peter 2, verse 2, a reminder that will always be present for the child of God. In verse 2, Peter says we've got to continue to grow. As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. A baby has that insatiable desire to eat. And if you don't get him what he wants, everybody knows he's going to be unhappy and he's going to let everybody know about it. The baby has got to grow. He's got to eat. He's got to be fed. We are like that in the spiritual sense. We've got to take the Word and grow by it. Matthew 5, verse 6, Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Peter says later in 2 Peter 3, verse 18, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That means that if we've been in the church for a while, maybe 10, 20, 30 years, we ought to be teachers. We don't need someone to teach us again the first principles, the oracles of God. Hebrews 5, verses 12 through 14. That means we've got to break up our fallow ground. That which we've not studied, that which we've not grown in, that which we've not worked on in our life. We've got to break it up. Hosea 10, verse 12, and work on it. Like those in Acts chapter 17, verse 11, we've got to search the Scriptures every day. And so remember, when you become a child of God, the work's not over. The work has just begun, and you've got to grow every day. You've got to have an insatiable appetite for the Word of God because we've tasted how good that Word is. Now, in 1 Peter chapter 2, Peter reminds us that Christ is like four different types of stones, and so are Christians. He is a living stone. He is a chief cornerstone. He was a rejected stone and a stone of stumbling. Remember, we have that living hope because we've accessed the living stone, Jesus Himself. He's the chief cornerstone. What's that mean? He's that locking piece that brings it all together. Without Jesus, there is no hope, and He must be the chief cornerstone in your life. Everything we do must be because of our love and motivation that Jesus gives us. He's the rejected stone. Friend, being a Christian doesn't mean everybody's going to like you. There are going to be times when you have to say the truth in love, Ephesians 4:15, and people are going to reject that, reject Christ, and reject your lifestyle. But that ought not to bring us to shame. It ought to give us glory. If anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this name. 1 Peter 4:16. And Jesus at times is a stone of stumbling in the things we say. People will not always obey and realize the importance of. But Peter also reminds us of this. Here's a very viable and valid point for Christians today. And it's this. When it comes to matters of the flesh, I need to remember abstinence is the only biblical approach to the lust of the flesh. Now, I want you to look in the Bible in 1 Peter chapter 2 and notice what it says in verse 11. Peter says, "Beloved, I beg you, as sojourners and pilgrims," here's the key word, "abstain from fleshly lust which war against the soul." God's plan is not a plan of safety. God's plan is a plan of abstinence. If we're going to fulfill the commands of God in the areas of the lust of the flesh, we've got to abstain from things that are not right. The only place sexual lust, sexuality is to be fulfilled is inside the marriage bond. Hebrews 13, verse 4. Marriage is honorable and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Every area that does not fit that pattern, the pattern of marriage, is outside the boundary and the guideline of God, and you must abstain from that. Young people, listen carefully. If you are going to please God in matters that relate to this, you have got to abstain from the lust of the flesh. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 22, we're to abstain from every appearance of evil. Even if it seems evil, if it's evil to the world and ungodly, we need to stay away from that. James 4, verse 4 says, if not, we're adulterers and adulteresses, and we have fellowship with the world. Think of a couple of people in the Bible. One who didn't abstain. Solomon was the wisest man. God gave him wisdom from above, but for such a wise man, he made some really foolish choices when it came to the lust of the flesh. Solomon had multiple wives and concubines, and if you read 1 Kings chapter 11, those wives and concubines led him away from God. He didn't abstain, he gave in, and as a result, sin took hold in his life. Then think of another man, Joseph. Joseph is a powerful example of abstaining from lust of the flesh. Potiphar's wife has an attraction to Joseph. She, over a period of time, tries to get Joseph to lie with her. Finally, one day, she catches him in the house alone. She there embraces, tries to get him to again to have relations with her. And Joseph leaves his garment in their hand and runs out of the house. Now, there are consequences to that. She hollers that he's done something when he hasn't. But Joseph did what was right, and he's ultimately vindicated by God. Friend, we've got to take that example. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Flee youthful lust. We've got to remember to abstain from the lust of the flesh. Now, as a Christian, I also have the reminder of my responsibility now to others. What is that responsibility? Well, in verses 13 through 20, it tells us we're to respect and honor all people. I've got to give respect to those who are due respect, those who are older, those who are wiser, those who are leaders in the congregation. I've got to love the brotherhood. You know, the church is a wonderful thing. And part of my reminder is I need to realize the brotherhood's important. I've got to fear God, respect Him all the days of my life, and give Him the honor and glory that He deserves. I've got to honor the king and the governmental rulers. The Bible says that in 1 Peter 3 or 1 Peter 2, verses 13 through 20. You know, Jesus said it, "Give to Caesar that which is Caesar's." The Bible teaches in Romans 13, 1 following, we've got to obey the laws of the land. And so I've got to give respect to those who are due respect. But friend, as much as anything, Peter encourages us as Christians to follow the example of Jesus. Friend, we think about reminders. What is a reminder Peter needed to know? He needed to know he wasn't following Jesus at times, and he needed to learn what it really meant to follow Jesus. And so it does for us as well. Notice 1 Peter 2, verse 21 through 22. The Bible says, concerning the following of Jesus, that we are, "For this to you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, notice, that you should follow His steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in His mouth. We've got to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. What's that mean? Do not sin or slander when others do that to you. He committed no sin, nor was guile found in His mouth. Were people trying to tempt Jesus to do that? Well, think about this. They said to Him on the cross, "If you're the Son of God, bring yourself down from there." They were trying to get Jesus to sin, to give in to what they wanted. God says, "Be angry and sin not." Psalm 4 and verse 4. We've got to be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. And so we need not let people tempt us. That's part of growing. We don't revile or get angry back. We do the will of God. Look in verse 23. He was reviled. He did not revile back or in return. When people made fun of Jesus, Jesus from the cross did not respond in a popular fashion like that. You know, people say today, "Don't get mad, get even." Friend, that's not a Christian motto. The Christian motto is, "Don't get mad, let God get even." Romans 12, verse 17 and 18, God says, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord." We love our enemies, Matthew chapter 6. We do good to those who use us and who are spiteful toward us, Matthew 5, verse 12 through 14. We try to help those who are lost in sin, even if they're not good to us, because we want them to go to heaven. And so that's what it means. Don't sin or slander. Don't revile. And you've got to selflessly submit your life to the will of God. Verse 24 of 1 Peter 2. Notice the Scripture says this of Jesus. He Himself bore our sins in His own body upon the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. What does it mean to follow the example of Jesus? Jesus selflessly submitted to the will of God. And friends, when I walk in His footsteps, I've got to do the same. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 26? Jesus is in the garden. He knows His hour of trial is upon Him. And although He knows He wants to do the will of God, in the flesh He cries out, "Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Not my will, but Thine be done." Friend, that's the attitude of following Jesus. Obedience, my friends, to God and to Jesus will truly change the direction of each one of our lives. Friend, we're reminding you today, Peter's reminding us of what it really means to live for Jesus. We ask you today, are you a child of God? Do you have that living hope? Do you have the forgiveness of sins? Are you sure that heavenly inheritance is yours? And are you saved today? Friend, if you've never obeyed the gospel, you can do that today. You've got to hear the Word of God, Romans 10, 17. You must believe that Jesus is God's Son, John 8, 24. You've got to make changes in your life and repent, Luke chapter 13, verse 3. You've got to confess the name of Jesus before men, Romans 10, verse 10. And you must be baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sins. If you've not done that, friend, you don't have that hope, but you can today. As a child of God, we hope that this lesson will encourage each one of us to never give up, to always follow in the footsteps of Jesus, and to realize we are born again, we are children of God, and we need to remember it is the greatest privilege in all the world. May God bless us as we strive to live according to the gospel of Christ.